Genesis chapter 12. Does everybody have a handout? Who does not have a handout? Okay, we're missing some over here, right here in the front. Oh, they're coming down. We don't really. It's almost 8 o'clock right now, and so, but Panetta took way too much time in the song service. No, I want to make sure we're ready. I really do. I am going to do something. I don't know if I've ever done this before. I'm going to have a three-part series tonight, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And it's on vision. The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people what? Perish. We have a very purposeless society where their vision is making money to please people that can really care less. And to get a bigger this and a bigger that. Listen, you can only get so big. And I think you need to help me on my monitor, guys. I don't know. I'm not sure it's wrong. Maybe it's just my ears. But Dr. Heil said something that helped me. He was teaching on giving. No, he wasn't teaching on giving. He was teaching on money. And he was giving some stories about some older people that when they were my age and maybe a little younger, in their 30s, they got this idea that, you know, the communists were going to take over and the world's going to come to an end and why save any money and why, you know, have a pension, and preachers opted out of Social Security so they didn't, you know, when they turned, whatever, 65 or 70, they had no Social Security pension. And he said, I'll never forget, he said, I had a friend of mine was a dentist, and he started reading some stuff, and he started going off the deep end. And he said this dentist sold his practice and went and, you know, I can't remember who it was, who was taking over if Jesus was coming back in 1994. How many ever read the book 1994? How many knew Jesus was supposed to come back in 1994? Okay, by the way, that book is not selling anymore. Okay, Harold Camping's, his book 1994. This dentist sold his practice. You know, I mean, he had to go to school for 8 years, I guess. Sold his practice and went and lived on a boat. And just waiting for, I don't know what it was, you know, the whatever. And whatever never happened. Dr. Howell said this. He said, now look, Jesus might come back tomorrow, amen? I've already said, Brother Myers will be the pastor. I've already said, my son could be the youth pastor, amen? But Jesus could come back tomorrow, but Jesus might not be coming back until the year 2210. Now, to be quite honest with you, I hope the homosexuals don't take over. And it's scary. It's scary. They are making much progress. By the way, my brother needs to update his pink lavender book or whatever it is to the second edition. Because a lot of junk that I haven't heard him even mention, because he's all on these other things. I hear him on the radio. These aren't even Christians. I hear the homosexuals are making progress. And the truth is, this group of kids that have gone through the public school, they haven't graduated yet. You give it 10 years and you see how tolerant our society it is. Now, I want to fight like the homosexuals are going to take over, but I want to live like they're not going to take over. I want to go in a shelter, and I don't want to go move to South Dakota, North Dakota, and get me some ranch out there, and you know, and what do they call these things? Militia. We have a Christian militia. Okay, I can tell Shane would like that. My brother would like that. Mr. Stein would probably like that. But we're not going to do that. I am leading our church as if I am going to pastor here for about 30 more years. That's how I'm doing this thing. By the way, I'm not in a rush. I'm really not. Now, you might be in a rush to get rid of me, but I'm not in a rush. And by the way, it's very helpful to have a pastor that's planning on staying somewhere. Everything I look at is totally, I don't look at just next year and 5 years from now. If I did, I'd compromise in some areas probably. I plan on being here for 30 more years. I'll be 75, 30 years, and I might after 30 years say, man, I'll take another five. I didn't say I want everybody here for 30 years. Now, tonight, I probably have 8 minutes, 10 minutes maybe. I want to start just a little message, a series tonight. A lot of this you've heard before. Tonight, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on the vision for Pacific Baptist Church. This whole building campaign, you know, it's not about buildings. It's about the vision that I think God has for us. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, why don't you stand? Let's all stand together. We'll stretch a little bit. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This is the beginning of the nation of Israel. That's the vision. By the way, the nation of Israel is still here, okay? Several thousand years. This is the first part of the Bible, book of Genesis. And he said, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation. And of course, this time he had no children. He couldn't have children. And I will bless thee, and he's talking about his children will be the seed that multiply to make this great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Look at quickly to Genesis 37. Verse number 5. You know the story. The Bible says, and verse 5, and Joseph what, class? Dreamed of what, class? And he told his brethren, and they hated it. By the way, the dream was from God. Not every dream is from God. I've already said this. Some dreams, because what you watched last night on television. Some dreams are from the devil. Some dreams because what you ate last night. Too many onions on your pahok burger. Some of them are from God, okay? They come up to me, Pastor, I had a dream. Okay, don't come up. I'm not very good at interpreting dreams. The last lady that came up to me, she was right here. She told me she had a dream. It's from God. I hadn't seen her since. She hadn't been at church. I don't know if the Lord knows where she is. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and it told his brethren, they hate him yet more. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, here I pray you this what class? Which I have what? For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And he's literally picturing himself in Egypt. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to mine. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his what, class? Dream. Verse 9, and he what? Dreamed. And yet another dream. God's sort of nailing this down in it. He told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. He said, man, God's given me this vision of the future. And he told his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream and that thou hast dreamed? Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that you'd help us in the very short time that we have to realize you have a purpose for our lives. Individually and corporately as a church. And Lord, I've got this not original. I just know the will of God is like a Polaroid picture. The longer we walk with you, the clearer it gets. And Lord, it's not real, real clear, but I think it's getting clearer and clearer every day. Help us as a church corporately to have a dream. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. In your outline, it says, someone asked Helen Keller, what could be worse than being born without sight? She said, being born with sight, but living with no vision. By the way, I encourage you, get a vision from God for your life. Ray Kroc was 50. You're not, by the way, you're not too old. Ray Kroc was 52 years old when he took over, and I forgot what it's called, this little restaurant, and we now call it McDonald's. He was 52. Colonel Sanders was in his 60s when he was a failed businessman, and he said, I'm going to start this business. And, of course, now we have history, Colonel Sanders. Several years ago, and I just repeat myself, but it's worth repeating, several years ago, we took some of our leaders. We didn't really, we maybe had one or two paid staff members. Maybe Brother Myers was the only paid staff at that time. We went to San Francisco, and God at that time gave us a vision, a dream. Part of it was this, bringing up young people for God. And there's so many, I don't have time to go into it. I will over the next Sunday morning, Sunday night. There's so many reasons why. And that's what God did. God said, forget now. We don't forget the old, you know, those of you that are over 19. But God said, anyone over 19, forget it. I'll take the young people that you said were going to die. Their carcasses were going to die in the wilderness. And they're more moldable. They're more open. They have more faith. And that's what God gave us, that dream. Look at the first little bullet. Very few churches ever discover God's vision for their church. This past week, I spent several hours just going back over some of the notes and some of the books I have on vision and studying this. And very few churches ever discover God's vision for their church. Look at the next bullet. Very few Christians ever discover God's vision for their life. I'll tell you, this past week, I talked to three of our men. They're getting it. And I'm going to be going to this, I think, Sunday morning or Sunday night. Their life is not a career. Had one of our men come, a single man, he said, Pastor, he's very successful in what he's doing. He said, Pastor, can you help me with my destiny? He said, my job's taken care of. I got a good job, and I know, most of you know, if I told you it was, he said, but I want to know my destiny for life. Talk to another man, and he says, it's not career. Very, very successful in his career. And if I was to tell you details about his career and what he gets paid and all that, and he's basically saying, I want the will of God for my life. The will of God is not being successful in your career, and now that's a part of it, but the will of God is saying, why did you put me down here on earth? Most Christians never find out why. They get up in their 60s and 70s, they look back at life and they say, why didn't I look for it when I was in my teenage years? By the way, young people, that's what you want for life. Not a career, you want the will of God. Very few Christians ever discover God's will, God's vision and purpose for their life. I got this from a book on vision, and they've done research. Next bullet, less than 1 out of 20 Christians ever discover God's purpose for their life. Next bullet, our building campaign is just a part to fulfill God's vision for our church. That's all. It's a part of the little piece in the puzzle. We've got to get another building. The auditorium, the multi-purpose room, the parking structure. Quickly, our vision is, and I'm going to do injustice tonight, but that's okay. I'll repeat some of this on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Our vision is to have a church that baby Christians enjoy. By the way, grown-ups too. But I do not want a church where just people come in just to study their Bibles. I want a church when people come, when they get saved, they come in and say, you know what? There's something going on over here, and I think I can give my life to what's going on over here. That's the type of church we want. We don't want just a church that's literally dying out and losing its zeal. Listen, new Christians, when a person truly gets saved and the Holy Spirit comes in their life, they want something real and something that's exciting. By the way, that church in the book of Acts, they literally turned into a commune. They must have enjoyed going to church. The Bible says daily. By the way, I don't believe in Christian communes. When we were in Chicago as bus workers, there was a big apartment, about 3 or 4 stories, and the Jesus people all lived there. And it was a commune. It was a Christian commune. They all lived there, and I won't go into all of it. That's not the best way to do it. But I'm just saying, we want to have a church where baby Christians enjoy it when new Christians come in. Now, we understand not everyone's going to enjoy it, and not everyone's going to stay here, but that's what we want. Hey, we want a church, and I believe God wants this type of church, where we're proud to invite our friends and our coworkers to. I've told this story. I don't know when it was. There's a guy. He had a coworker, and his coworker finally said, I'm going to come to your church. I'm ready to come to God. And the guy said, don't go to my church. He said, I have a church I can refer you to. That is not the type of church we want, okay? Let me quickly, number two, we want, well, number one, we form a little bit, but where they enjoy it. Number two, we want to have a church, our vision is to have a church that is bright in our community to glorify God. Amen. Matthew 5, 14 and 16 to 16, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We want to have a bright church, amen? Letter A, to glorify God. God says, listen, don't put the church in the corner and put a bushel over it. And if you're a little candle, you put it on a candlestick and get it out there and let the world know what's going on at the church. That's why I'm glad we have these city officials going, you know what that's going to do? That's going to get the word out in the city. You go up to those city officials, you smile and you be sincere and let them know. I want them to go back to the city hall and say, let me tell you about that banquet over there at Pacific Baptist at that hotel. Letter A, to glorify God. Letter B, to impact our community. Letter C, I got to go quickly, that our testimony is so bright that no one can ignore us. By the way, this isn't out of pride. This is for the glory of God. I want Pacific Baptist Church, by the grace of God, one of these days, and by the way, it's becoming, to be a household word in the city of Long Beach and the surrounding cities. When you think of Long Beach, you think of Boeing. You think of the Queen Mary. You think of the Ice Dogs. Is that their name, Ice Dogs? I want people to think, oh, Long Beach, Pacific Baptist Church. So how does that happen? By being bright. Miss Benia came up. She said, Pastor, she said, my husband and I, we were somewhere and someone came up and asked if we were Christians. By the way, that's how it should be for all of us. Everywhere we go, our light is bright and we're smiling and we're happy and we're sharing the love of God with as many people as possible. Quickly, number three, to be salt in our community. We want to be light. That's our vision, be a bright light. By the way, that building, it's not going to be extravagant, but we want it to look nice. And listen, the people are going to be driving up and down Magnolia. We've done what we can possibly do with the grounds and with the facilities, and we've painted, and we try to keep it as clean as possible. I knock on doors, and so do you. Do they say, man, you guys have done such a good job. Have you ever heard that? Well, that new building will be the same. And we want to be a light, and we want to be salt. Say, Pastor, what is salt? It keeps us from spoiling. It keeps your city from spoiling. It keeps those around you from spoiling. We need to stop more of the homosexual agenda. Hey, let's grow so big so they're afraid of us. They see us coming. They start getting their network and say, man, here come the Baptists. Number four. I got many more notes. I don't have time. Number four. Our vision is that we want something that will motivate our children to stay here. Now look up here just a moment. If God wants Jose to be a missionary to Cuba, let him go. I just talked to somebody recently. I said, look, I was trying to help them with the will of God for their life. I said, I would never want to be guilty of trying to keep somebody in this church to keep from the will of God. But I'm going to tell you this. If it's not the will of God, you don't go. I said, if it's not the will of God, you don't go. Now, I'll say that biblically, but I also want to have a culture around here to say, listen, we don't need people to be, if we're taking care of the sheep, they don't need to be looking at another sheepfold. They don't need to be looking at, well, I'm going to move to New Mexico to get a mansion. So what? You and your husband can get a divorce? So your kids could turn into rebels? I'd rather be in the poorhouse in Long Beach in the church house than going off somewhere and have a mansion and then and my marriage is going to put because I don't have a good church. I want to motivate our children to stay. By the way, not just us. I was so excited that DVD that Brother Ledwich put together on Sunday night to see our kids, the vision that we had, not all of them, but a lot of them, they're staying here and they have a vision. They say, listen, we want to give our lives here. We want our children to grow up here. Got a letter from John Nick Esposito this week. Where are you, John Nick? By the way, He did spell uncle wrong, but that's okay. I appreciate his letter, and he's just thanking me for letting him serve here or something like that. It was very nice. And he said, you know what? I want to stay here the rest of my life. He said, I want to rear my family here. So, girls, you know he'll stay if you just give him the opportunity. Okay. You know what? John Nick, you're an encouragement to me. Susan Limcocco, this past week, she said, Pastor, she said, I want to see my grandchildren grow up here. That's the vision. That's the vision. That's a part of it. By the way, a lot of what we're doing around here, let me say this, and don't get me wrong. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I can't do my whole message, so I'll do that. Christians hop around way too much. I got a book. It's called the Greener Pasture Syndrome. It's always something better over there. And they go over there, and you know what? They say, well, you know what people do when they get discouraged when they're over there? What do? They come back home. But one of my points, hopefully I get to here in a minute, it's never the same when you come back. So don't leave. By the way, we want to be here when you come back, amen? And we'll have our arms wide open, and we won't say, aha, we told you so. Now, we'll be saying that in our hearts, but we won't say it with our lips. Now, if God wants you to go somewhere else, that's where we want you to go, and we'll help you, and we'll pray for you, but don't go somewhere that God doesn't want you to go. We want to do everything to motivate our children. Listen, if it's not God's will for you to go somewhere, stay here where your mom and dad are. Stay here where your roots are. Stay here where your Christian friends are. Stay here where you love the church. You want to go somewhere, and the next thing you know, you're saying, I don't know if I like this church. And then you start church hopping, and while you're church hopping, you don't have accountability. That story is all over the country. We want that. We want to motivate our children to stick around here. Do everything we can to do that. Look at the little bullet. Enjoying ministry. Enjoying family. And I know we all can't be together, but I'll tell you what, I want to do everything I can to have my grandkids and my children and my great-grandchildren to where when we have a little barbecue, we can have all 75 of them at my house. Some grandchildren, and I know we can't control all the circumstances, but I think a lot of it has nothing to do with the will of God. It has something to do with not having a pastor that's leading the church and casting a vision and saying, listen, why don't we stay together? And if that's the will of God, let's just die together. Letter A, to prevent the it's the not same syndrome. And I just mentioned that. You said, what happens? We get itchy. Start talking, oh, it's funner over here. It's nicer over here. Come on over here. You can get a job. Job's not the will of God. You go over there and you go there for a couple years and you come back and you lose all your spiritual momentum. And then what do you do? Say, it's not the same. It's never the same when you leave and come back. Letter B, to weaken the temptation to leave. We want to do everything we can to have a little city here. They will count the loss as they say, I'm staying here. Next bullet, it's a huge risk to move to another city and church. I hate to say it, but I know what I'm talking about. It is not greener on the other side. It's easier to make money in a higher economic area, and I know that's it. I hear people all the time, I'm moving to Oregon, I'm moving to Arizona, I'm moving to New Mexico, or they're moving to these little desert areas. It's hot over there, folks. I'm moving over here and I get a bigger house and I get a better job. Do you know what? If God's planned us here, He can help us financially to make it. And He can help our children financially to make it. There's millions of people that are making it. Why can't God's people make it in an area where God's called them to? Look at the bullet. It's easier to make money in a higher economic area than to put your family back together in a low one. We better pray. Father, I pray a little bit tonight, Sunday morning and Sunday night, that we as a church can realize that this isn't just coming to church on Sunday and Thursday and having a few activities. This is a life. You have a purpose for our church. There's something to do with our families. You have a vision for us. And Lord, might we be sensitive to it. Might not we be haphazard about our lives. And help us to realize if this is where you've put us, help us to stay here until you move us. And help our vision to be much bigger than only us, but that might it be to reach as many people for Christ so that we can be salt and light in our community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.